From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate that, but... Well, let me explain why I'm a little sheepish about it. First of all, we do have a great show for you today. We got Fred Armisen. He's the star of Saturday Night Live in Portlandia, basically everything funny on TV. He'll be here later, but, here's the thing. I usually try and start the show by saying something funny, you know, just to get it off on a right note and everything, but this week I didn't think I need to prepare anything because I assumed we'd be canceled after the world ended on Friday. Carl, you got anything?
Peter, you're lucky I'm sober and wearing pants.
Well, it's going to be up to you all to get us going here. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Rekaya, and I'm calling from Crooked River Ranch, Oregon.
You said Rekaya?
Yes, you said it right. Good job.
Oh, thank you very much. I was just repeating what you said. So, so Rekaya is an interesting name. What kind of name is that?
Well, my parents just like came up with it, and
it's called hippie.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not really, but
really,
your folks aren't hippies, and they call you that?
No, my dad's a pastor, actually.
Wow. Wow. Oh, is it one of those biblical names, perhaps?
I think it has biblical roots, but it's original.
So. Oh, that's good.
Somebody's name was Rekaya back then.
Yeah, probably. Well, welcome to the show, Rekaya. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, it's a comedian and host of The Morning Amp at Vocalo.org, the king of Bronzeville, Mr. Brian Babylon.
Thank you very much, Rekaya. How are you?
Next, it is one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts. And lastly, let me introduce you to comedian, writer, and director, Mr. Bobcat Goldthwait. Very happy to have you back.
Thank you. Hi, Rekaya.
Rekaya, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl. This time, Carl Castle is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win the prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Are you ready to play?
I was born ready.
Yes. Good answer. Here, Rekaya, is your first quote.
Merry Cliffmas.
Yeah, that was a headline from ABC News this week talking about what story that just won't go away until it finally destroys the country.
Oh, the fiscal cliff.
Yes, the fiscal cliff. You may be asking yourself why. Why are we talking about the fiscal cliff for the fourth week in a row on this show? Honestly, we thought it would be over by now. They keep dragging it out like the world's worst cliffhanger. It's amazing. It's just a mess. And yet it's still so dull. It's like fiscal cliff. You think it'd be exciting. You think like you go to an amusement park and there'd be like a ride called the fiscal cliff. And you're like, that's cool. Let's get on it. And it turns out it just like goes around in a flat circle, you know?
It's a monorail the whole time.
And it moves really
slow.
Really
and there's a sign before it says you must be this boring to get on this ride. This is what happened this week. We're obligated to give you the latest. Talks between Speaker Boehner and President Obama broke down. And so Boehner introduced his own thing, his own plan to get back at the president is called Plan B. This is the pill you take when you screw the country and you don't want to live with the results. So it looks like with the latest failure, it's hard to say, Congress is now going to go away until after Christmas, which gives us like, 3 days before the fiscal cliff on the 1st. So it looks like we're going over the cliff. You know what we should do, though? In the movies, it's never the star that goes over the cliff. It's always a stuntman. We should get a stunt country to go over for it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Canada,
you know.
Yes.
Canada can do it. I'll tell you why Canada can do it.
They would do it.
Canada
happily.
Canada looks like us from a distance. And we know they're not doing anything on New Year's Eve. So here is your next quote.
The purple and pink make it seem as though cooking is girly.
which it is not.
That was from a successful petition thought up by a young girl named McKenna Pope. She was asking Hasbro to make what popular toy a little less girly for this holiday season?
Easy Bake Oven.
Yes, indeed. That's right, Rekaya. Ms. Pope, a 13-year-old girl from New Jersey, wanted to buy her younger brother, about four, an Easy Bake Oven as a present to ease the pain of having to grow up in New Jersey. But she was disappointed to find out that all the ovens were pink and purple and marketed to girls. So in response to her petition, which was joined by 40,000 people, including some celebrity chefs, Hasbro has introduced the genderless Easy Bake Oven. It's very easy to do. They just had to remove the genitals from the back. It's funny. We're trying to imagine these toy executives. Like, okay, we've got to make the Easy Bake Oven appeal to boys as well. How do we do that? It's like, well, we can paint it in camo and equip it with missiles and tank treads.
I'm excited to know that in the future there'll be a lot of young boys who will grow up and cook with light bulbs.
That's true. So, is this how we're going to train them when they try to?
Yeah, that is the best way to cook. You know, and they tell you just stay with baked goods, but you can use pork products. It's definitely, like an Etch-A-Sketch, that's definitely gender-specific.
Is it? Wait a minute.
Maybe I'm doing it wrong.
All right, Rekaya, here is your last quote.
She's a beautiful on the outer side, but even more beautiful on the inside.
That was a world leader known for his love of women, many women, announcing that from now on he's going to love just one. What former prime minister is getting hitched again?
Is it Vladimir Putin?
No, it's not Vladimir Putin. This is a guy, he's the prime minister now. You couldn't tell by Carl's brilliant and authentic Italian accent?
Was it Donald Trump?
He's been Italian the whole time.
Who knew?
It's Super Mario.
No, it's not. It's Silvio Berlusconi. I'll just give it to you. It's Silvio Berlusconi, of course. I know everybody has been worried about the former Italian prime minister ever since he was charged with soliciting a prostitute, convicted of tax evasion, was thrown out of office, his wife left him, and then the devil came to return his soul because even the devil was like, ew. But the billionaire first announced an intent to return to politics, if not prime minister again, then maybe pope, you know, dream big. He's also getting married again. The newest woman who will get the honor of being cheated on by Silvio Berlusconi is one Francesca Pascale. She's only 49 years younger than her groom-to-be. This, of course, makes her his great-great-grand bride.
What do they talk about? It's like, tell me again about Furbies. And she's like, tell me again about the day you guys came up with the wheel. That had to be awesome.
That was great. Carl, how did Rekaya do in our quiz?
Rekaya, you had two correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or home answering machine.
Well done, Rekaya.
I'd just like to thank my parents for, like, bringing me this far, and so many people.
Yeah. Rekaya, thanks so much for playing.
Thanks. Merry Christmas, guys.
Bye-bye. You too.
Long and even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today. 'Cause you make me feel so young.
We want to remind everybody they can join us here most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org. And you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can also find out about the upcoming Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me cinema event happening on May 2nd of next year. We'll be beaming the show live to movie theaters across the country. It's Wait, Wait on the Big Screen, or as we like to call it,
Attack of the 50-Foot Radio Show.
But now some questions for you guys about the week's news.
Uh-oh.
Roxanne, with a Lincoln biopic, a big hit in the theaters, ABC is developing a new historical sitcom based on the early life of whom?
Is it a former president?
It is not a former president.
Is it of the era of Lincoln?
It is not.
So basically, you're saying it could be anybody.
I am, in fact.
Is it someone
that.
Who drove a Lincoln?
Okay, I'm gonna. The early history of Joe Biden. The early history of.
That would be a horrible sitcom.
Justin Bieber.
Yes, Justin Bieber. Yes.
Wow. No. I tried to pick a young person.
You got it. It's what Justin job? Bieber. Canadian like, toddler Justin Bieber. The number one sex symbol among people who do not know what sex is. Rose to stardom at a young age. Now ABC wants to examine the pre-pop star days. In the Justin Bieber story, 0.5 men. You may be thinking, hasn't he always been famous his whole life? Well, he had those 9 months in utero, after all. And he didn't have a big hit until Push It, his sexy jam about his time in the birth canal.
Man, I would be on that show, like his crazy middle-aged black friend who just...
Yeah.
Come on, Justin, man. You got to believe in yourself.
Okay, yeah.
Credits.
That's pretty good.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Roxanne Roberts, Bobcat Goldthwait, and Brian Babylon. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Lee calling from Fairbanks, Alaska.
How are things in beautiful Fairbanks?
Well, let's just say there's a reason tourism comes to a screeching halt in December.
Yeah. We were there in August of 2011. We had a wonderful time. Beautiful place that you live.
Yeah, I noticed you came in August.
Yes. Lee, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Lee's topic?
It may be that my heart is two sizes too small.
We have met the enemy in the war on Christmas, and it is us. This week, our panelists are going to tell you three stories of people who are threatening to ruin Christmas for the rest of us. Guess the true story, you'll win Santa Carl's voice on your voicemail. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right. First, let's hear from Roxanne Roberts.
You know how rich people stay rich? By being incredibly cheap. This month's tale of Scrooge-like scrimping comes from Newport Beach, California, where wealthy yacht owners are threatening to cancel their annual boat parade and light display to protest a dock rent increase. Homeowners typically spend thousands of dollars to decorate their boats and houses for Christmas. This year's crop include a reindeer carousel, Santa in a hot air balloon, and penguins dressed for a luau. But all that is endangered by a tiny proposed hike in dock fees. Yacht owners paid the rock-bottom price of $100 a year for two decades, the equivalent of a rent-controlled penthouse in Manhattan, and are facing hikes of $250 to $3,000. So Bog McAfee, head of the Stop the Dock Tax, wants a boycott and no Christmas lights. His neighbor Pete Pallett told the LA Times he has mixed emotions, but he will go dark unless the hike vote is delayed. Quote, otherwise, game on, the modern translation for bah humbug.
The yacht owners of Newport Beach threatening not to decorate their yachts for Christmas unless they get a break from taxation. Your next story of a holiday Grinch comes from Brian Babylon.
Every year, the Park Slope Co-op in Brooklyn hosts a Santa photo op for the members' families. If you're not familiar with the Park Slope Co-op, it's an organic grocery store for people allergic to corn syrup and fun. This year, the co-op took its healthy eating mantra a step too far. They hired a skinny Santa. According to the co-op, quote, Santa realizes he hasn't been a good role model for kids in the past, so he's cut processed wheat and dairy from his diet. Gone is his bowl full of jelly belly. Gone are his chubby red cheeks. Gone, too, is his giant synthetic suit.
As a co-op parent Tony Miner describes in The Village Voice, my kids completely lost respect for Santa. There's nothing fun about a guy counting calories. Plus, his bony knees made too many toddlers cry.
A skinny Santa at the Park Slope Food Co-op in Brooklyn. And your last story of someone trying to spoil Christmas comes from Bobcat Goldthwait.
Port Talbot, Wales, like many towns all over the world, has a manger in its town square with animals, wise men, and baby Jesus. And after requests from another religious community in town, the Jedi, it now has a manger showing the medical deck on the asteroid colony of Paulus Massa, showing the birth of Luke Skywalker. However, local vandals did not take too kindly to the space-themed nativity and stole baby Luke Skywalker from his cradle. Jedi Porter Baron, the group's leader, turned to the local media in an effort to have baby Luke return. It disturbs the force that in these times that all faiths are not respected equally, and myself and my brother and sisters Jedi Knights have been deeply hurt by the lack of sensitivity and attention that has been shown by the local authorities in helping return baby Luke. Mr. Byron added, also, the Luke doll wasn't even ours. It was on loan to us from a Jedi chapter from Hartford.
All right. One of these stories may ruin somebody's Christmas. Is it from Roxanne Roberts, how the yacht owners of Newport Beach might go on strike and not decorate their yachts? From Brian Babylon, how a food co-op in Brooklyn has hired a skinny Santa to demonstrate better nutritional ideas? Or from Bobcat Goldthwait, the vandalism of a Jedi manger? Which of these is the real story in the week's news?
Man, I so want the skinny Santa to be the right one. But I'm tempted to go with Roxanne, but then I know so many people have.
Whoa. Hey, what's that? I thought what we had was special. Ah, you crazy little minx.
I think I'm going to go for the canceled boat parade.
You're going to go for the threatened canceled boat parade.
Yes,
that's Roxanne's story. Despite the fact that she's led so many, as you say, down the road to perdition, you're choosing Roxanne's story. Well, we spoke to one of the people involved in the true story.
There was an attempted boycott of the annual Newport Beach Christmas boat parade. If anything, it hardened the council to move forward because it irritated them.
So that was Rush Hill, the mayor pro tem of Newport Beach, California, talking about the threat of withholding Christmas lights on the yachts. By the way, I just want to say that even though I knew which real story it was, I used to be a member of the Park Slope Food Co-op, and I totally believed Brian's story. I was like, yep, that's what they do. Nonetheless, you were smarter than me. You picked Roxanne's story. That means you win our prize. Congratulations. You will get Carl's voice on your home voicemail. Well done.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
And now the game where we ask somebody who can do a lot of cool things to do something he can't do, which is going to be hard because Fred Armisen can seemingly do everything. He's a cast member on Saturday Night Live, a star and writer of Portlandia on IFC, a former drummer in a bunch of punk rock bands, and for a while, the world's preeminent Barack Obama imitator. Fred Armisen, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, hi. So great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. So we were researching your life, and we found out a couple of interesting things. First of all, we found out that you have said that when you were a kid, you always wanted to be famous.
Yeah.
That's true?
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't like, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a doctor. It was like, I want to be famous.
Absolutely. I would see people on TV, or I'd see bands I really liked, and I thought, I want that.
Did you, when you were a kid and thinking about it, did you imagine any of the benefits of fame, like the money or whatever else?
No, nothing like that. I just liked the amount that I enjoyed it. I thought that must be a nice thing for people to enjoy something visual and musical.
Right. And so you ended up like becoming a musician?
Yes.
Yes.
Drums.
You played drums?
Yeah.
In like a bunch of rock bands. You actually were here in Chicago playing in the scene here.
Yeah, I was in a punk band called Trenchmouth, and we played here all the time. And it was, you know, it's a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of carrying things into a van, carrying things out of a van, upstairs, back into the van. It's like a moving job.
Yeah, basically.
You know, it really is. And that stuff is, amps are heavy and drums are heavy.
The other thing we were surprised is I assumed that you you had come up, like so many guys on Saturday Night Live in particular, through like the improv, like Second City, or maybe some of the companies, the Groundlings in L.A. But that's not true, right? You just started doing these performances on your own?
Yeah, I started making videos of interviewing bands. And I would just go and interview bands as different characters.
Yeah, I saw a video clip of you interviewing, I assume a musician, as Hitler.
Yeah.
You just said yeah as if that was a totally normal thing to do.
Yeah, I just did different. I would do a deaf guy, a blind person, a German journalist, and I put this video together, and more people came out for that than ever did for Trench Mouth. And
who did you interview as Hitler? I mean, did in the middle of it, did he go, "You're not Hitler"?
Actually, but the thing is
pretty sharp. Yeah. He probably caught
No,
on.
Actually, what's weird is actually in the middle of it, I mean, at first he's going along with it and he's answering these questions from Hitler. And the questions from Hitler are not like, "Do you hate the Jews as I do?" But it was like, you know, "Tell me about your music," and except it's Hitler. And and at a certain point, the guy you're talking to says, it's not so much this guy isn't Hitler, it's that this guy is Hitler, and I shouldn't be nice to him. So he starts saying things like, "You suck, Hitler."
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
"You're a terrible person,
yeah,
Hitler."
But you know what that means? That means you're a great actor, man, because he starts believing.
Yeah. I made him believe.
That's called method acting at its
finest.
That's
right.
On Saturday Night Live, you're sort of the go-to guy for ethnic characters. Would you say? Is that true?
I don't know. I guess so. Maybe. Yeah.
Well, you did Barack Obama for a good 3 years, right?
Yeah.
So what are you saying?
I mean, I think Nassim Pedrad.
You know what? For the longest time, I thought you were mixed. I swear. I thought you were like half black.
I knew you were Hawaiian.
I'm not Hawaiian. How did you know?
I want to talk to you about...
But I want to answer your question about ethnicity. It wasn't really a question, but I'm half Venezuelan and a quarter Japanese and a quarter German.
Really?
That's a potpourri of race.
Yeah.
It's a very, very common mix.
Wait a minute. A potpourri?
Yeah, isn't a
potpourri? Yeah, because you can take some of it and it smells good.
It could be a bouillabaisse.
I would think he's a cornucopia
of rice,
if I had a pick.
I'd say he's a melange. We have heard that Saturday Night Live is a crazy competitive environment all week.
No, it's not competitive.
It isn't? We thought
no, it's an army.
It's an army?
It's a family. It's like we all support each other. We all root for each other's sketches. We're all in each other's sketches. It's awesome.
Isn't there a sense of like we're all going to come up with sketches and only some of them are going to make the air?
Yeah, but you're in people's sketches. Everyone I know on the show is like we all really support each other.
So
and, I'm not kidding. I would tell you if it was a little...
Would you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So there's no black swan situation going on in the backstage.
Can you, without being indiscreet, can you say your very favorite host? That you had the most fun with?
Boy, I would say the people I've had the most fun with are athletes because they really don't care.
Like Charles Barkley.
They have no agenda.
Yeah.
They've already achieved everything they wanted to achieve. And when they step into the studio, they do not, you could put a dress on them. They'll do an accent even if they can't do it. It is so much fun. They're the most fun, without a doubt.
Right. So, for example, who? What athletes have you worked with?
Well, Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Chuck is crazy.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, nuts.
His answer's always yes.
He's not a trained improv guy. He's just nuts. One last question. I'm a Saturday Night Live. I've heard the audition process can be nerve-wracking. What was yours like?
Well, it was such a big deal. It was just like being asked to go to the moon or to be president.
Yeah.
You know, it was just very like, this is crazy. I can't even believe it. And then I remember walking to the elevators and I knew they sort of pulled me back to talk to me and I thought, oh, maybe something's happening.
Yeah,
and then they called me and when I was down outside with the other people who had auditioned, they said, okay, I think we're going to do this. I saved the phone number as best call ever. And to this day, whenever NBC calls me, I just keep transferring it to every new phone. Yeah.
But what if you
and get, I get a lot of new phones.
Yeah, but what if you get fired? It's going to be a really weird thing.
I mean, the calls is good.
Best call ever.
But then it'll be like it'll have a sarcastic tone to it.
Yeah.
Best call ever.
What's wrong, Fred?
Before we move on to the game, Portlandia is starting up again in January, which is totally awesome. You don't live in Portland. Your partner Carrie does, partner in the show. Do you like walk around and look for people in the streets that you're going to say, oh, that'll be a sketch or that'll be a sketch?
You guys, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It almost seems like they're doing it on purpose.
I want you to know, I was in Portland and I was talking to a guy who had quit his job and come there to do some metal sculpture. And he was about 28. And I said, have you ever heard the line that Portland is the place where people in their 20s go to retire? Mm-hmm. Which is, of course, a great line from Portlandia.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, that's true.
It is?
It is true.
It's just this place that where everything's just going great and everyone gets to do whatever they want, whatever kind of shop they want to open. And it's this place, everything is just working out for everybody. And
It's like a nerdy public radio utopia. It's like Subarus and hummus plates for
That's
everybody.
That's exactly it. And the sort of family, even the families and the dad, that all the dads play bass and drums, and there's just kids everywhere, and to the cool music, everyone, it's just, everything is just, it's almost like, well, let's make a really cool city, and that's what it's like.
It's like little kids named Axel running around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Fred Armisen, we're delighted to talk to you. We've asked you here today to play a game we're calling...
I regret regretting that I regretted the error.
We hear...
Wait, can you say it again?
I regret regretting that I regretted the error.
We here at Wait, Wait love journalists. In fact, we depend on them. We're like those little birds that get their nourishment from picking debris out of the teeth of crocodiles. But journalists aren't perfect. The Poynter Institute just published a list of their favorite retractions of the year. We're going to ask you about three of them. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in their home answering machine. Carl, who is Fred playing for?
Fred is playing for Jackie Ficht of South Pasadena, California.
You ready to play?
Yeah.
All right. Here's your first question. Very early in the year, the editors at the New York Times had to correct a story about a young couple named Jack Robison and Kristen Linsmith. What error did the paper of record make about them? Was it A, Jack Robison's actual name was Infanta Miel Trencalada? B, Kristen's favorite My Little Pony Friendship is Magic character is Twilight Sparkle, not Fluttershy? Or C, the two people in the article aren't a couple. In fact, they don't even like each other.
Well, C, I don't know why they would have been in an article. B sounds kind of interesting. That name sounds a little thought out. So I'm going to go B.
You're going to go B. You're right.
Yeah.
With the ponies. To quote the Times, it is Twilight Sparkle, the nerdy intellectual, not Fluttershy, the kind animal lover. Next question. Vogue magazine had to apologize for identifying somebody as, quote, an interior designer when he was really what? A, an exterior designer. B, an intelligent design advocate. Or C, the deputy assistant secretary for the Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor at the U.S. State Department.
Oh, I want it to be C so bad. I'm going to go C only because I want it to be.
It is C. It was C. It was a profile of Chelsea Clinton. No reason was given for the error. Last question. You're doing very well. The Toronto Sun made this uncorrected error just a couple of weeks ago. Was it A, they referred to the Canadian Prime Minister as what's-his-name, because who the heck knows who the Canadian Prime Minister is? B, they misspelled the word correction. Or C, they captioned a picture of Kim Kardashian with the words, the Whore of Babylon.
I think it's C.
You think it's C, the Whore of Babylon?
Yeah.
She might well be the Whore of Babylon, as predicted by the Book of Revelations, but in fact, their error was to misspell the word correction.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
In a correction, they misspelled the word correction. Carl, how did Fred Armisen do in our quiz?
Well, Fred had two correct answers, and that was enough to win for Jackie Ficht.
Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
So, you're back on Saturday Night Live, and, which picks up back in January, and Portlandia's on in January as well, right?
That's exactly right.
So
yes.
We just, it's a potpourri of Fred Armisen.
Mm-hmm.
Bouillabaisse. Yes.
Bouillabaisse.
Armisen Palooza.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Fred Armisen is, of course, the star of Portlandia, starting his third season on the IFC as well, Saturday Night Live. Fred, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Bobcat Goldthwait, Roxanne Roberts, and Brian Babylon. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. In just a minute, Carl gets into costume to play one of the three rhymesmen in this year's Limerick pageant. Sometimes I don't know what I'm saying. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Bobcat, happy to report that there have been arrests made in Wait Wait's official 2012 Crime of the Year. Canadian authorities have now arrested four conspirators and accused them of stealing more than $18 million of what?
Molson's.
No, although it's a liquid precious
a
to
precious
Canadians.
Liquid
a precious liquid
precious to Canadians.
Yes, and any American who likes his pancakes.
Oh, Alan Thicke.
That's funny, and I have no idea what you meant.
Yeah, of course, it's syrup.
What kind?
Oh, well, maple syrup.
Maple syrup.
Is
yes. Maple syrup.
Canadian. Canadian. What kind of it? Is it moose syrup?
The 6 million pounds of maple syrup disappeared from a warehouse over the course of almost a year. The thieves would have gotten away with it, too, if the Canadian spy satellite hadn't seen those 200 square mile pancakes from space. The theft went unnoticed for a long time because the thieves would somehow take the syrup and leave the empty barrels behind. That's how they got away with it for so long. How do you get 6 million pounds of maple syrup out of a warehouse without barrels? Workers say now that they think of it, they did see a lot of guys walking out of the warehouse with bulging cheeks who wouldn't say hello when you talk to them. It's like, hey, you work here? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Canadians would do a syrup heist.
They would.
Syrup. That doesn't even sound cool. How do you get put in jail? Like, what are you in for? I did that. What about you? Syrup heist.
No. Everybody backs away from you on the bench,
you,
man.
You command a lot of respect.
Yeah.
Back off. I'm in here for condiment theft. When the financial collapse comes, we are going to be bartering in syrup.
It's true. It goes further. You say, well, why does this warehouse have all this syrup? It is the strategic syrup reserve. This is true because basically French Canada is like the OPEC of maple syrup. They control the world's supply, and they want to keep a quota on the amount that's sold, so they put the extra into this warehouse.
They're like the Saudis of syrup?
They're the Saudis of syrup.
This is why we have to come up with electronic pancakes. Pancakes that run on their own.
Yeah. Bobcat, what do turtles, a steak, two puppies, a bottle of vodka, 16 Cuban bullfinches, several monkeys, a hockey puck, an iPad, a bunch of snakes, lots and lots of drugs, and a meal consisting of a Cuban sandwich, a strawberry parfait, and a 12-ounce beer have in common?
What was found in the lower track of an elephant?
No. Turns out all these people weren't happy to see you.
It's sort of the running theme of the whole show, of Carl.
A surprise party?
No. That would be a fine surprise
party.
These
people weren't happy to see you?
You know the old joke? Is that or are you happy to see me?
Oh.
Roxanne, do you know this one?
It has to be pants.
Down your pants. Those are all things that people got caught stuffing down their pants in 2012.
Do the list one more time, because that was crazy.
All right, here we go. One more time. This is a partial list. Turtles, a steak, two puppies, a bottle of vodka, 16 Cuban bullfinches, several monkeys, a hockey puck, an iPad, bunch of snakes, lots of drugs, and a Cuban sandwich, strawberry parfait, and a 12-ounce beer.
Okay. The 16 what?
Cuban bullfinches.
What is that?
Birds.
It's a bird. They were smuggling birds.
All 16, all in the pants?
Yeah. It's a new version of the 12 Days of Christmas.
It really is. And a partridge. In my pants.
Bird finches. All right.
Puppies could be kind of cute.
Yeah, that would be.
Puppies in your pants?
You know, it's really, when you think about the last thing in the list, it's crazy. It's like, it's a really a special sort of thief who sneaks the sandwich and the beer into his pants and thinks, you know what?
I need a parfait.
I want dessert, too.
Yeah, I need a parfait, baby.
He's just bold.
Because the Cuban bullfinches might get hungry there now and there, too.
But here's what I got thrown off. This isn't one guy's pants.
No. Yeah. Different guys, different
types. All right.
I'm sorry. I don't want to derail the show.
All right.
But you said parfait, but I'm very upset at Kentucky Fried Chicken or KFC. They discontinued the strawberry parfait dessert across the system. And
you're upset about that.
Very
upset. Is this recent?
This is recent. I've gone to KFC after KFC. They don't carry them anymore. I've gotten in multiple arguments with management about this.
Really?
Yeah, and it was cost effective, it was delicious, and I'm just mad.
Were people smuggling the parfaits out of KFC?
If it's any parfait that should have been smuggled,
yeah,
it should be a KFC strawberry parfait. That is all.
All right.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can always click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. You can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. And you can check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Fonzie tells you how to be cool. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, Peter. This is Brian Salazar from Beaumont, Texas.
Hey, how are things in Beaumont?
Absolutely wonderful. It actually finally got cold here. We don't have much of a winter season.
Yeah, so how are you enjoying that cold weather?
I actually caught a cold when it got cold.
Well, there you go. That's appropriate, seasonally appropriate. Well, welcome to the show, Brian. Carl's going to read you...
They don't call them hots.
Carl is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. Here is your first limerick.
When stomping on grapes, we're unchewed. Take that thought all the way and conclude. The contact with clothes may harm a wine's nose, so we're harvesting grapes in the...
In the nude.
Yes, very good. Over the centuries, wine has helped many people get other people's clothes off, so why should anybody wait until it's out of the grapes? Either winemaker Mike Hayes of Australia started harvesting his grapes naked to get closer to wine's ancient history, like he says, or he's just already drunk. Tasters of the nude wine say it has notes of cherry and almond with a strong armpit finish. Here is your next limerick.
As much as I plead and cajole, my fat dog won't go for a stroll. So the way that I feed will meet exercise needs. I put food in a difficult...
Bowl?
Yes, bowl! Very good. Husky, getting a little too husky. Chow, 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 chowing too much. The Wall Street Journal reports that exercise bowls for your dog are the latest thing. They make your pet work for his dinner by moving it around or hiding it deep in a toy. That's what, you know, they have to climb up and get it, right? Or it runs away from them. This is what humans need. A hot dog is a lot less fattening if you have to chase it for 5 miles. And think of how fun and healthy it would be to eat bacon if first you have to kickbox the pig.
We're not eating if that happens.
Yeah, we're just
like, okay, whatever. I ain't got time for that.
All right, here's your last limerick.
For my smartphone, I might let my care lag. But cracked screens are a major repair drag. To protect from the shock of 2-3 foot drop, I'm giving my phone its own...
I'm stumped on that one.
Oh, no, you can get it. You can get it.
Here we go again. For my smartphone, I might let my care lag. But cracked screens are a major repair drag. To protect from the shock of a 2-3 foot drop, I'm giving my phone its own...
Bag?
Close. What kind of bag?
A...
Rhymes with care lag, a repair drag. To protect...
Airbag.
Airbag, yes! Amazon founder Jeff Bezos has invented the iPhone airbag. It can tell when the phone's been dropped. It inflates a protective balloon around it before it hits the ground. It's much cooler than the helmet and knee pads you've been making your iPhone wear. If you're unsure where our priorities lie in this country, I would like to point out we came out with the iPhone airbag before the baby airbag.
You can't take a picture with a baby.
That's true. Carl, how did Brian do?
Congratulations, Brian. You had three correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done, Brian. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Roxanne Roberts has the lead, Peter. She has 5 points. Brian Babylon and Bobcat Goldthwait are tied for second. They both have 2 points.
Okay. Well,
how is that possible?
I don't know.
Why are you insulted that you're tied with me? How is that possible? He was in Police Academy, for God's sake.
Well, we flipped a coin. Bobcat's elected to go second, so Brian, you're up first.
Okay.
The clock will start when I begin your question. Fill in the blank. President Obama appointed Joe Biden to lead a task force to combat blank violence.
Automatic weapons.
Yeah, gun violence will take in a huge shift for Wall Street. On Thursday, the blank agreed to an $8.2 billion takeover.
The exchange.
Yes, the New York Stock Exchange. NBC journalist Richard Engel and his crew were freed from captivity after being taken hostage last week in blank.
Syria.
Right. On Wednesday, South Korea elected its first ever blank president.
Lady.
Yes, tired of waiting for his food at a Denny's. This week, a man in Texas blanked before storming out.
He went back and cooked his food.
No, he lit the Denny's Christmas tree on fire. Best known for his contentious and unsuccessful Supreme Court nomination, blank died this week at age 85.
Robert Bork.
Yes, hoping to improve sales figures, fast food giant blank sent a memo asking franchises to stay open on Christmas this year.
I would say Arby's.
No, it's McDonald's. Arby's? A store in North Carolina had come under fire because critics say its Christmas tree is just a blank.
Its Christmas tree is just a pole.
No, it's just a pile of tires. The North Carolina tire store stacked up tires in a vaguely tree-like shape, put on Christmas lights and a star on top. The town doesn't like it because tires plus lights means you get a rubber fire for Christmas. Anyway, if you like the idea, remember, it is not worth both ways. Replacing your tires with Christmas trees results in a loss of traction. Carl, how did Brian do?
Brian had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points, and Brian has taken the lead.
All right, so... Bobcat, you are up next. Please fill in the blank. 4 State Department officials resigned this week following the release of a report about the attack on the consulate in blank.
Oh, pass.
Benghazi. Benghazi. Yeah, for the second time in 4 years, Time Magazine named blank as the person of the year.
Obama.
Yes, after fainting and sustaining a concussion while recovering from a stomach virus,
Hillary Clinton.
Home this week, yes. A court in England has directed the local character known as the Naked Rambler to please blank.
Put on clothes.
Put on underwear, yes. Hundreds of flights were canceled after a massive snowstorm hit the upper blank on Thursday.
Deck?
Midwest, where we are now. According to inside sources, the FTC antitrust investigation into the search engine blank is likely to continue into next year.
Google?
Yes, a Florida woman arrived home last week to find her blank had been stolen.
Mobile home?
No, her entire driveway. Rachel McCarty first suspected something was wrong during the extremely bumpy drive up to her house, but it wasn't until she got out of the car that she realized her entire 300-square-foot brick driveway had been stolen. She actually posted lost driveway signs with pictures of it around the neighborhood. But it wasn't until the thieves returned for her lawn that they were caught. Carl, how did Bobcat do in our quiz?
Bobcat had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. He now has 10 points. But Brian Babylon still has the lead with 12.
All right. So then how many does Roxanne Roberts need to win?
4 correct answers.
All right. Here we go, Roxanne, for the game, fill in the blank. On Monday, members of the Electoral College met and officially cast the votes electing blank to a second term.
Barack Obama.
That was a hard one. According to press reports, President Obama is likely to nominate blank to replace Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State.
John Kerry.
Right. After it announced that user information and pictures could be sold to advertisers, users of blank began deleting their accounts.
Instagram.
Right. A former McDonald's employee in Wales was awarded a $5,000 settlement after she was fired for blanking.
For... squeezing ketchup from the wrong end of the
No, round. She was fired for putting too many sprinkles on a McFlurry. Fans of the apocalypse were sorely disappointed when they woke up Saturday to discover the world blanked.
Had not ended.
Isn't that a disappointment? Breaking with tradition this week, Queen Elizabeth issued an invitation to blank's parents to be the first non-royals ever to attend the royal family's Christmas celebration.
Kate Middleton's.
Yes. To gauge the safety of its onboard Wi-Fi, Boeing is doing test flights using blanks as passengers.
Crash test dummies?
No. Potatoes. The problem is they want to test the Wi-Fi and find out how people in the plane interfere with the Wi-Fi signal. It turns out that big sacks of potatoes are chemically similar enough to people that they provide the same level of interference. So they've used a program, and this is true, they call it SPUDS, Synthetic Personnel Using Dielectric Substitution. And they've been flying these potatoes around. They love it. It turns out not only do potatoes sit there quietly and don't ask to be paid, but they don't complain about the lack of food in coach. They keep seated with their seatbelts on when the sign is on, and they never give you grief about turning off their cell phones. Carl, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
She needed 4 correct answers, but Roxanne had 5 correct answers. So with 15 points, Roxanne Roberts is district champion.
Well done. We kind of saw that coming, Roxanne. In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists to predict what America will look like on January 1st once we have gone over, the fiscal cliff. But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and eSurance, an Allstate company, born online and offering tools and resources for drivers to make decisions about their car insurance at eSurance.com. The John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And Pimsleur Language Programs, offering tools to say happy holidays in more than 50 languages with 30-minute daily lessons at Pimsleur.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions' Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler James Green. Volunteer wrangler is Ray Teresi. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. And this week, we say farewell to our intern, Leah Menzer. We can honestly say that in 15 years of interns at this show, she was by far the Menzerist. Leah, thanks for everything. We wish you the best. BJ Litterman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Mr. Ian Chillag. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Linwood Danforth. Now, panel, what will America look like once we've gone off that looming fiscal cliff? Roxanne Roberts.
Cheating husbands will only be able to afford to one-time their wives.
Hard. Brian Babylon.
They'll make a movie about it. It'll be called Grapes of Wrath Reloaded.
And Bobcat Goldthwait.
Mostly naked mole people.
Well, if any of those things happen, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Brian Babylon, Roxanne Roberts, Bobcat Goldthwait. Thanks you all for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. Have a wonderful Christmas. We'll see you next week. Is NPR.